even.
Did you see a clip from me yesterday?
He starts picking.
I lost the handle.
Starts picking up that hammer and looking at me, I'm a little worried.
I lost the handle on this yesterday.
You did?
And it went flying.
Let me get out of your way.
Good afternoon, I'd like to bring the Joint Interim Committee on the Department of Energy Oversight to order. December 13th, 2016. Committee, we're going to be reviewing and discussing the co-chair draft report and recommendation, and also other recommendations that we've received, and that's what we're going to get started with. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Beth just to kind of walk us through where we're at and go right into the discussion of the latest revised co-chair recommendation.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, so what I thought I would do is just briefly walk through the changes between the October 31st version of the co-chair draft recommendations and the December 1st version. You should all have received this about a week ago. So I'm just going to run down through, and if you have any questions, please stop me as I go. First of all, on the very first page, I'm going to try to make a comparison between what I'm looking at and what you've got in the report. But there were some additional issues listed at the bottom explaining what the controversy has been around the agency over the past few years. So that's a more complete list than it was previously. And then the next changes, you have to move to page, page four of the December 1st version of the report. And this change is found throughout the revision, and that is the removal of some of the provisions related to climate, so that the finding number one now is focused on creation of a new independent energy board rather than previously it was Energy and Climate Board. And then also there's additional language in that finding regarding the purpose of the board, ensuring that Oregonians have a sustainable, resilient supply of safe and affordable energy balanced with other statutory policy directives. Moving on in that same section, there is discussion on page five about the Global Warming Commission. There are not a lot of changes there, but there were some changes related to a state agency coordinating body that would be composed of key agency directors to address the programs across agency jurisdictional boundaries. And so that language, I think, was mostly cleaned up to reflect the discussion in the committee at the last meeting. Next section of the report has to do with nuclear safety and emergency preparedness. Hold on 1 second, make sure we're ready to go to that spot. I'm sorry, I need to go back and talk about a couple of the other changes in the previous section. In addition, there are, at the previous version of the report had the ODO director appointed by the Energy Board. The more current version continues to have the director appointed by the governor subject to the Senate confirmation process. There was also a recommendation that a new position at ODO be dedicated to both transportation and liquid and natural gas policies and issues. There is currently a position at ODO dealing with transportation, so that provision has been removed. The earlier version talked about having the governor convening a work group of the agencies to make those recommendations related to coordination, and the new version actually has the directors convening that work group to do that agency coordination function. Okay, now moving to the Nuclear Safety and Emergency Preparedness Division. I don't believe there are any significant changes there. There is an addition that asks that the report that is done jointly by ODO and the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, also include a list of priority upgrades and consideration of alternatives for requiring that those upgrades be completed. Energy Facility Siting Division. In key recommendations here, the previous version directed ODO to convene a work group to make recommendations on a number of issues that are listed. The new version directs the legislature and governor to convene a task force to address those issues and adds to the list to include whether ODO should use the Office of Administrative Hearings, administrative law judges as hearing officers to assess whether the current state jurisdictional thresholds are appropriate is continues to be on the list. And then also that the work group should address whether a state and regional need standard is desirable and if cumulative impact analyses or alternatives analyses should be required. Also added was a recommendation that resources be provided to hire a professional facilitator for that task force. The next.
Is that in our last report?
Yes, it is, I believe. Let me double check. Yes, it is in the most current report. Planning and Innovation Division. Under key recommendations, the earlier version directed ODO to evaluate the programs. The new version directs the new Energy Board to do so. We also made a change to the date. Previously, it was by which those recommendations needed to be submitted to the legislature and moved it from November 1st, 2017 to July 1st of 2018. In the second recommendation under that same section, there's some language change there to require that the strategic energy plan that is developed is reviewed by the Energy Board with subsequent consideration by the legislature. That is a change to that language. Under Energy Development Services, under the discussion in that section, there are some additional details about what was found in the audit of the Betsy program. And then some language directing that the legislature carefully consider whenever it's developing new incentive programs whether they're necessary to achieve the state's energy goals, and if so, to apply the lessons that were learned from the previous program's errors. Under key recommendations, there is under the animal manure and rendering tax credit program, a new recommendation that a monetary cap be adopted for that program. And then under the RETC program recommendation, there is some additional language related to recommending that a study look at a comparative review of incentives that are offered through RETC and those offered by the Energy Trust programs. Further down that same set of recommendations, there is language suggesting that any recommendations that were listed in the Betsy audit be carefully reviewed and incorporated into any proposed new incentive programs that are developed. Under the SELP program, there's direction that OBDD work with the State Treasurer's Office to review the past loan defaults and any other program requirements. Under the how to address the SELP shortfall, there is additional language related to restarting the loan program to help generate a repayment revenue stream to address the shortfall, provided that that is supported by the review done by OBDD and the Treasurer's Office. And then in this final section of the report on central services in the Director's Office, there's a little bit of language change there that in the recommendations, but it was pretty minor. And I think, Mr. Chair, those are the main changes between the two drafts of the report.
So I believe that those were changes that were generated by our discussion from the last committee meeting. We tried to incorporate a lot, the co-chair Byer and myself and staff tried to incorporate a lot of the issues that were brought up, tried to make those changes to accommodate some of those issues. And that, she just reviewed those changes, not the entire report, which we reviewed previous. So would anybody like a discussion on any of these points or on the co-chair draft recommendation at this point? Comments? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Chair Hovey. There's some fundamental differences on the approach between the co-chair's recommendations and the alternative recommendations. The alternative tends to delineate fixes, whereas the co-chair's recommendation is more, let's do a task force to do this. We're trying to be a little more specific. And then the real fundamental difference, though, is that I think
intend on reviewing Senator Olson's recommendation as well.
But I think that the major fundamental difference here is that we're looking at least I'm looking at the Department of Energy as a independent body to analyze energy needs, to just take a cold, hard look, not being influenced by the right or the left, just right down the middle, look at it, kind of like the PUC does, or is supposed to do. And I think that, you know, like the Global Warming Commissions and the Northwest Power Council and the various agency heads, they've got to certainly have a place, but it is to recommend to the legislature for the legislative body to make policy, not for the executive to go through appointed councils, appointed commissions, appointed agency heads to make policy and then tell the legislature what they've done. I mean, I think that's my division. I think that the legislature should be making these policy choices and directing the Department of Energy, not the other way around.
Other comments? So we also, and I really appreciate, you know, all the input that we've gotten, and I do appreciate that Senator Olson gave us a proposal as well.
Took the time.
And, you know, I do sincerely appreciate that input. And I'd like, you know, to give you an opportunity to review your recommendation proposal for the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. Appreciate your gratitude in the fact that we did some work. And I will state that it was not only my work. It was also the work of Senator Whitsitt, Representative Bence, Representative Hack, some folks from the industry, including natural gas, including the utilities. And on the back, on the very last page, I'd like to start with that because I credit the areas where I drew information from, and I took it from the Joint Interim Committee on Department of Energy Oversight Co-Chair Draft, pulled information from that, a letter to the Joint Interim Committee from the Northwest Energy Coalition, and a letter to the Joint Interim Committee from Mr. Gary Bauer from Northwest Natural Gas. And with that, I think one thing that we have in common is the fact that we understand that we need a Department of Energy. Energy is critical to our state. It's critical to our economy. Without energy, we're lost. But we have some minor technical differences as to where the department should go. One of the things that I took directly out of the program from the co-chairs was what we should focus our work on. And once I did that, I looked at the agency structure in the background, 469.010, and went through and looked at exactly what was defined in statute to see what the agency was supposed to look like. And one of the questions we had, and I think Representative Benz might speak to this because we talked about it earlier, is the need exists for comprehensive state leadership in energy production, distribution, utilization, and evaluation of Oregon's supply of affordable, sustainable, and reliable energy. And the question is, I guess was asked, was do we need comprehensive state leadership? Or do we need an agency that gathers information? Because we have in the marketplace, we have energy suppliers that do a tremendous job of forecasting and putting out availability of product. So that being said, and they discuss production, distribution, and utilization quite efficiently. So that being said, should the Department of Energy be a library of data and information that the state can use? Went through, and as I get to the end of 469010, I said, and thus began the Oregon Department of Energy. And the duties of the State Department of Energy are found in ORS 469030. And the State Department of Energy shall be the central repository within the state government for the collection of data on energy resources. And 469030 goes on. And pulling from the co-chair's document, they said there was four operating divisions, which there are. And we left that the same, so we concur on that. And we looked at their budget. I just put down what their budget was. Now, when it says that the agency had been mired in controversy over the past several years, they had three, and I changed that to five. The three from the co-chair's report was a few large non-performing loans in the Constitutional Small Energy Loan Program, a legacy of problems emanating from the now-defunct Business Energy Tax Credit, controversy over the Energy Supplier Assessment, the ESA, and then I added controversy regarding perceived FSEC bias towards energy developers, and we've heard many, many complaints and discussions on that, and failure of ODO to consider cost-effectiveness and facility siting decision making as required by ORS 469010 sub 2F. The Small Energy Loan Program, we got into that right away. Constitutionally mandated loan program has run successfully for many years. We agree to that. The scope and goals are laid out in OAR 330-110-0005. And the program, which the program says the program should encourage diversity in projects, develop and maintain a loan portfolio that is reasonably balanced across market sectors and project and borrower types, and fund energy products that support projects that support the department's goal for energy efficiency, generation, and security without regard to energy source. I go in and add and put in OAR 330-110-0010 to lay out some of the parameters and some of the definitions that were used. And we look at the very first one, adequate security. This, the Small Energy Loan Program has some loans that were deficient. So did we have adequate security? Was that definition followed by the Department of Energy? Creditworthy means in regard to an applicant able to repay its debts as they become due. Was that followed in some of these loans? Delinquent account means a loan that has not been paid in accordance with the terms of the underlying loan documents. Financial feasibility means that a primary repayment source for the loan has been identified, the applicant is creditworthy, and the project is financially viable. Well, we know in one project we lost $18.1 million in 7 months. So the question is, in this report, is were these definitions followed? So the recommendations for the Small Energy Loan Program. Complete an independent third-party financial and forensic audit of all aspects of the Small Energy Loan Program loan portfolio paid for by ODO, out of ODO's budget. Determine which loans are performing, the payoff period, security value, the interest rate of the loan, and predicted income to the overall portfolio. Include any viability of default. We really don't know all the loans and their exact status. determine all loans that are not performing, interest rate, security value, and the interest rate of the loan, and predicted loss from this loan minus security value, if we have security value. Upon audit review, return the small energy loan program to its original mission and establish a cap on the loan size. Directly from the co-chairs. Transfer remaining small energy loan program to the Oregon Business Development Department. ODO to provide energy expertise to OBDD, but will not have authority to issue loans. OBDD to strengthen loan underwriting requirements. To me, that's critical. Remove statutory authority for governor to override ODO or OBDD decisions on loan applications. That takes a little bit of the politics out of how we do business in this state and how we spend the taxpayers' money. Repeal the alternative vehicle fuel revolving loan program and transfer the remaining funds to the small energy loan program. Separate out non-performing loans into new portfolio and fund the shortfall to prevent default. Use performing loan returns for repayment. Reduce ODE staff that oversees loan program. Require ODO to provide estimated costs of ongoing small energy loan program loan portfolio management for the next 8 years. And require ODO to provide estimate of ongoing transaction costs with the small energy loan program loan portfolio for the next 8 years. Our next section is the recommendations for the business energy tax credit. Full financial and forensic audit by independent third party of all BETC tax credits paid for from the ODO budget. Provide a letter of recommendation to the Oregon Department of Justice to enforce all performance agreements on outstanding BETC credits and clawback taxpayer-funded credits from the BETC recipient where performance agreement have not been met and to discontinue the redemption of any outstanding non-performing credits. Provide a letter of recommendation to the Oregon Department of Revenue to work with the Oregon Department of Justice to audit potential uncollected BETC-related capital gains taxes. Provide a letter of recommendation to Oregon Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute all activities by any ODO employee that may have violated fiduciary duties and reduce all staff that worked on the BETC projects. Primary source of revenue for the Oregon Department of Energy programs is the Energy Supplier Assessment, or the ESA. The Energy Resource Supplier means an electric utility, natural gas utility, or petroleum supplier supplying, generating, transmitting, or distributing electricity, natural gas, or petroleum products in Oregon. The director shall determine the projected aggregate amount of revenue to be collected from the energy resource suppliers under the subsection that will be necessary to fund the programs and activities of the council and the department for each fiscal year of the upcoming biennium. After making that determination, the director shall convene a public meeting with representatives of the energy resource suppliers and other interested parties for the purpose of providing energy resource suppliers with a full accounting of the projected revenue needed to fund each department program or activity and the projected allocation of monies derived from the assessment imposed under the subsection to each department program activity. That's under the ORS. Recommendations. Let's treat the ESA as a tax to suppliers, capped in statute at the rate of 0.08% of gross revenues. The suppliers will then know precisely what their input financially is. Make certain that all assessments are paid per ORS 469.421, but also determine that fuel or energy is assessed only and not other goods and services that may be marketed by suppliers. We heard several cases where suppliers were being charged for valves, tanks, and other accoutrements that were sold along with the propane that they were selling. That shouldn't be done. They should be charged only for the propane. Recommendations for the agency. Establish a 7-member commission appointed by the governor and approved by the Senate to oversee Oregon Department of Energy. The commission will oversee the operations and programs of the department, including the preparation of a strategic energy plan for legislative consideration, which balances the interests and accountability for the state's energy policies according to the authority of the statutory provisions of ORS 469.010. This is where we differ a little bit from the co-chair's report. Individual membership requirements should be one member who is an economist. one member from an electric consumer-owned utility, one member representing residential energy users, one member representing an investor-owned utility, one member representing industrial energy users, one member representing the transportation sector, one member representing a natural gas utility. Additionally, the commission shall have two ex officio non-voting members, a member, an Oregon member of the Northwest Power and Conservation Council, and an Oregon PUC commissioner. The commission shall select a chair and co-chair by vote of the members. The commission will receive reports as needed from the Energy Facility Siting Council and the Hanford Cleanup Board. Require Senate confirmation of commission members. Require Senate confirmation of governor-appointed ODO directors. Recommendations for the operations of the agency. Update mission statement to require the agency to focus on need, efficiency, return on investment, and prioritizing the basic energy needs of all citizens. ODO must determine affordability on a true unsubsidized cost basis. The agency should be restructured to focus on critical functions that support the clear meaning of ODO's mission statement and statutory authority. Policies proposed by ODO should incorporate federal energy policies and issues, including coordination with the Bonneville Power Administration, the Northwest Power and Conservation Council, and independent and consumer-owned utility organizations. Create an information and analysis section that will collect, analyze, and disseminate Oregon energy information. It should research new technologies and resources. Clear metrics should be established to evaluate all forms of energy by using a non-biased, impartial technical analysis considering source, distribution, and cost or savings for Oregonians regarding all energy sources. Create a technical assistance section that would serve as a resource to the legislature, stakeholders, and other agencies. ODO should create a tracking system for all energy resources, including energy efficiencies, fossil fuel generation, and any other potential source of affordable energy for Oregonians. It should identify and analyze the energy-efficient technologies and how these technologies can contribute to the state of Oregon energy system. Create a nuclear and emergency management section that will continue to coordinate cleanup of radioactive sites. This section should also plan for radioactive or chemical accident emergencies by laying out concise plans for displacement of Oregonians in affected areas and cleanup of toxic materials. They should coordinate with all other necessary agencies, including the Office of Emergency Management. Continue the Energy Siting Council, Energy Facility Siting Council. Continue with the standards-based approach that should be amended to include state and or regional need, prioritize efficiency and affordability, consider the unsubsidized cost of energy production, and to create standing for citizens to secure contested case to help enforce existing requirements such as meeting land use, environmental, and ESA regulations. The one-stop siting process is appropriate considering the new resource, transmission, and distribution system needs that Oregon will face in future years. The siting division administrative hearings for contested cases should be transferred to the Department of Administrative Services, Office of Administrative Hearing. This should provide a more balanced adjudication of contested cases by removing any bias that case hearings by FSEC have had in the past. It will give a clear and transparent process for those participants in the process that the deck is not stacked. Where cases are settled and land is taken by eminent domain, there should be a fund for immediate compensation for loss of use. There should also be a fund established for a continuing payment caused by the additional distress of lost productivity of obtained resource. This fund would not impact utilities as it could be passed on in rates. The commission or the administrative hearings officer could be the party to determine the value of this continuing remuneration, which should not exceed a 20-year time span. Administrative functions should continue to provide unbiased, quality technical assessment to the governor's office and to the legislature. The director should evaluate the various administrative functions within the agency to determine the most cost-effective manner that the services can be delivered and report to the appropriate legislative committees no later than March 15, 2017, through DAS, contracting, i.e., as an example, through DAS, contracting with other agencies or in-house. If in-house, the cost analysis should be provided showing the cost savings. If incentive programs are to be considered and implemented, they must have established baselines and metrics to determine the success of the incentive in order to be considered by the legislative body. ODO shall provide all necessary data and technical expertise to the legislature for these incentive programs. Programs should be administered by ODD with technical support supplied by ODO. And then finally, we get into the guiding principles. Programs should have statewide perspective. The agency should have a balanced approach to developing baselines when evaluating programs. The programs and incentives developed by the agency should be technologically neutral. Yes. ODO should take a non-politicized, non-affiliated, and neutral approach to energy policy for the state. The legislator should ask if programs or functions are duplicated elsewhere in the state government. It is important to maintain a knowledgeable and expert agency to serve as Oregon's liaison with the United States Department of Energy. The agency shall be transparent in all transactions and present results of programs to the appropriate legislative committees annually. And I had since covered, or previously covered, where a lot of this information came from. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I appreciate you reading through that alternative recommendation that you've presented to the committee, and it occurs to me there's many areas where we do agree.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I might mention there's a few that we probably don't agree on. And anyway, I'll open up to other discussion. Any comments on this proposal? Representative Bentz.
It's not so much, thank you, Mr. Chair. There's not so much a comment on that which we just listened to, but on where we find ourselves after all of this work. Mm-hmm. And I would just say that I'm in agreement with most of what both of you said. And there are a series of differences that I think deserve more work. And I'll just go through a few of them. The first is this challenge that this department faces when it comes to climate issues. Because there is no doubt in the world that when we talk about energy, we're going to be talking about climate. So it's a question, though, of what the primary purpose of this organization is. And is it to advocate for energy, or is it to advocate for climate, or is it to advocate for both? And it's not clear in the co-chair's proposal which might take priority. This is not something that I want to leave unaddressed. It needs to be called out, because we need to have advocates for energy, we need to have advocates for climate, we need to have discussions, all of that. That's one issue. It needs more work. The statement of the lessons learned, and I know this, I actually heard a lot about this from various folks a couple, 3 weeks ago about needing to be more clear in what it was that we learned. In both of these proposals, I don't think we've said with the clarity that we need to use that these lessons apply not only to incentive programs, they also apply to mandates. And that's not called out here, and it should be, because the types of things that went haywire with the Betsy apply equally to some of the climate things we're now hearing. And we need to make sure that as we're learning from the Betsy, we apply those lessons to any situation where we propose certain outcomes and then sit back and kind of watch. So that needs that in the reports I see here, the focus is primarily just on incentive programs, nothing about mandates, but those lessons apply equally to both. The self, I agree that we need a better analysis. It's going to move over, as I understand it, under both arrangements to BizOrg, and that's a good thing, so I agree with that. The assessment, I think it should be a tax, but we didn't have a hearing on how much. We can't just grab something out of the air. That we'd be just as guilty as those who have preceded us in this effort. Someone needs more work. The members of the commission, that's a really interesting one, and I understand completely why there's such a diverse view, because we haven't come together on the mission. So until we do, it's hard to suggest who should be on that group, so it needs more work. The thing that I don't think it should be listed as a failure of the department, I'm not sure where to put it, but it was a point that Senator Olson made a few minutes ago about comprehensive leadership and the statement that's made in the statute, which says comprehensive state leadership in energy production, distribution, and utilization, and there's a need for it. There certainly is. Both reports recognize that, but neither, I have not understood clearly, and I still don't, what this department adds when it comes to the broad view of creating leadership in energy. Some have suggested that's a PUC. It can't possibly be. The PUC doesn't have oversight over half of our energy production. So it can't be the PUC. I think it has to be this department, but it needs direction from us. And despite all the good work that's been done, I think there's more to do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bentz. Other comments? Well, I'd certainly add you know, in agreement with many of those things. I think some of the glaring differences for me is that I do recognize that climate is got to be part of this agency's consideration, whether or not it is a primary function. I, you know, don't think I believe it's their primary function. Their primary function is energy and making sure that we have a future adequate supply of energy that can be delivered to ratepayers around the state in such a way that it meets our state's goals. And, you know, one of those goals that is it is greenhouse gas emissions. We need to consider those greenhouse gas emissions. The legislature has previously put that into statute. And it is incumbent upon us to give, I believe, the Department of Energy the proper direction to consider that, which I don't believe they have right now, nor do I believe they have the resources to quantify all of the data that they need to have a statewide perspective of energy consumption, energy conservation, and greenhouse gas emissions to fulfill, you know, what I would view as their mission. We asked very early in this committee, back in July, I believe, for input from the members on what their mission should look like. And it was, I think, very difficult for all of us to figure out what that mission should be until we actually went through the Department of Energy and looked at all of its programs, all of the policy drivers that and statutes as well that they're tasked with. And I believe we've given them almost an impossible task because we do not make those connections. We do not coordinate the Department of Transportation and their emissions coming through the transportation sector. We don't have the coordination they need from the Department of Environmental Quality to measure emissions. So I see this really big disconnect in accomplishing those goals. When I look at the statutory policies that we have around greenhouse gases and some of the information we receive, that 80% of our greenhouse gas emissions comes from energy. And, you know, so that tells me that for us to do anything about and take those statutes seriously, we need to task the and give the direction to the department to have and the resources to analyze that and report back to us on those policies and recommendations. I agree the legislature needs to be the one that's setting those policy goals, but we can't do it without that expert input, and I believe that should be coming from the department. And so, and on the one hand, it's one of the disagreements I think that we have on the alternative proposal and the co-chair recommendation is that very key element of considering you know, the impacts that greenhouse gas emissions have and both in our social environment and in our economic environment, and I think that that's a fundamental issue for us going forward. So I really agree that we have done a lot of work. It's been enlightening. I really commend the agency for all of the work they put into this. I think they've provided us some very clear responses to our questions and review of all their agencies. And I'm, you know, I think we have come to agreement on many of their programs that we see value in. And I think the ratepayers of the state of Oregon receive a huge benefit from the potential of this work. So that being said, you know, we did look at all the recommendations that came from people. We're still receiving some. I note we did receive recently from the Propane Association some more input and from several others recently. But I think we've done a lot of good work. There's a lot of areas of agreement. However, we have not come to agreement on the fundamental issue of mission, governance structure, and those pieces are critical to understanding how all the rest of it fits together. And I think that this work will continue into next session. I don't feel compelled to vote on these recommendations. I think that we just haven't had time. This latest proposal came to us last week, and we've been the co-chair and I have been seeking that input since September, and have put out a couple of draft recommendations. And so this input is important to us and things that we consider, but we simply don't have time to complete that and reconcile our differences to move forward. I feel confident that we'll continue this conversation, and it will be my intent to draft legislation for the 2017 legislature on these issues. And I would imagine some other committee members will be doing the same thing as their recommendation to to the 2017 session. It won't be in, from my understanding, in this committee. It'll probably go to, I can't speak for certain, but probably go to the standing policy committees that handle this arena of work. So I do appreciate, again, all the input that we've had, and certainly hope that we're able to continue this conversation and work together to try to, you know, come up with a measure in 2017 that gets us to a place that we can pass a bill by the larger purview of the legislature. This committee is not suited to accomplish that, I don't believe. Co-chair Beyer, and then Senator Edwards.
Sure. Well, I think we're a lot closer than it might appear on the surface. When I got the senator's proposal there, I was curious, and I did a side-by-side from my own view. I did share that with the senator. And amazingly, I would say that probably 90% of the recommendations, if you just look at the recommendations, 90% of them are pretty much the same, stated in a little different fashion, but they're pretty much the same. There's a few things that there's some disagreement on. The rest of it was just sort of the language of the report and how it's approached. But if you just look at the recommendations, they're very similar. Still some work, I think, to do. I think there's some different perspectives. Representative Bentz, I don't disagree with you in terms of we still haven't defined the mission, although I guess it exists now. What we haven't decided is if we want to change that, because it does, the direction does exist in state law. My own personal view on it is that I think the value add that the Energy Department brings to the table, can bring to the table, is assisting the legislature and the governor in defining an energy strategy, which we don't have. And it's different. I'm not talking about an IRP that an individual company would have or something. I'm talking about a higher-level document. As we went through this thing, the thing that struck me is we had a whole lot of programs out there, predominantly in the renewable field, but other things, too, that are very haphazard and without clear reason why we were doing them. I've said many times in our discussions, we missed the why point. Why are we doing this, and how does it connect to anything? And if we do it, you know, when we passed it, what did we think would happen? Did we have some metrics to measure it? And the answer to all of that was no. We didn't have any of that, you know. And that's the nature of a legislature. Legislators propose new ideas. They don't necessarily have to be in concert with what exists or other ideas that are coming along. And so we've got a mishmash of programs all over the place that don't necessarily tie together very well. And that's the fault's on us. We've done that. And we also, you know, we acknowledge, should acknowledge that in the heyday of the going into the recession, we were trying to find answers. We did some things that didn't turn out very well collectively as an organization. And there's some, you know, we focused on the financial downside. What we didn't focus on is some of the financial and programmatic upside. We built, because of that, one heck of a lot of wind farms in eastern Oregon that created a whole new tax base for counties that didn't exist before. Whether that's good or bad, that's a reality. We did do that. It is what it is. So we probably ought to, you know, just recognize that that happened. And frankly, the leadership of the government directed the department to make some loans that were, frankly, not very good loans in the end, for good incentives to try and build a new industry that didn't come about. That's what happened. It's past. We ought to look at those. I agree with Senator Olson on some of those. We need to look a little deeper at that in terms of what's left. Do we have any clawback potential? We tried to address that in the draft that Paul and I and the staff worked on, saying we should do that. Language is a little different, but the intent is the same. On the SELP program, the governor's already transferred that, I believe, over to Business Oregon, to the Infrastructure Finance Authority, and the advantage of that is that that's the place in the state where we make loans, and they have the advisory council, and they have the technical staff to manage it. And I know in brief discussions with the director there, they want to do the kinds of things that Senator Olson said. And I think there's to get the state treasury involved in that and looking at, you know, we didn't really mention it, but we talked about, can you sell the loan portfolio and recapitalize off of that? That needs to be done. But that's not something the legislature should do. I would hope that Business Oregon, the treasurer, would do that. So I think there's a lot of stuff that's there and has been done. We haven't quite got this to a point where I think many of us would agree upon it. But I think we moved in a positive thing. I would like to be able to address the siting council, but I just don't think we're capable of doing that. I think that needs to be looked at seriously. There's some basic stuff in my mind. Some questions that were raised by the people. One is the process. How do you do that, the ALJ? It seems to me it's a little too close together. I come from a different perspective, having served on the PUC. That process, that contested case, I think works well. I don't know whether it's transferable directly or not, but I think it's one that somebody ought to look at that can spend more time with it. I also think we've got, we did away with the need standard a number of years ago, and probably ought to take another look at that. One of the issues we did was we defined what size is capable, and we've seen a lot of large renewable projects cut up into smaller projects. Well, the statute allows that. We didn't quite. We ought to reconsider that. I don't know whether we should change it, but we ought to reconsider that too. That, and most importantly, I think the process itself is. It may work fine from a processing standpoint, but the citizenry is very clear, don't like the process. They don't feel like they have an input. And that's, we need to take a look at that and see how we deal with that. So that's, I think it's important to do that. The task force that was outlined in the report probably should go forward. And I think I will be introducing legislation, if no one else does, just to put that on the table. And that's a discussion for the policy committee in 2017. Most of this stuff can't be done without legislation, and I think we'll see that. It needs to be introduced. I suspect my colleague will be probably introducing some things, and I think others, and we'll have them on the table. And that's where change has to happen. But I think we got a lot of good information. I think we collectively know a whole lot more about the department, what's working and what's not working well. Many of our biggest concerns had to do with the finances of tax credits and that. Those are dead, with a couple of exceptions here. So it's talking about, is there any way to get the money back? The Attorney General has those, although I will note that that audit report, their auditors now find themselves in the position of being sued over it by somebody. That's welcome to the real world, I guess. So we've got it there. So by and large, I think we've, to date, we've done good work. We've got a lot more to do. We're just sort of running out of time on it. So I think we're going to be looking towards the membership in, as we go on forward to try and finish this up.
Senator Edwards.
Thank you. I won't be here this next session to participate in this discussion further, so I'll just leave a couple of thoughts. It feels like, I mean, I agree with so much of what I've heard from the co-chairs, from the co-chairs' proposal, from the alternative proposal, from the analysis of both proposals. I mean, I've heard a lot that I agree with. There are some glaring things that I don't agree with, but I think it feels like we're really close to a bipartisan proposal here. I appreciate the effort of the co-chairs and their proposal to move toward the proponents of the alternative proposal in removing some of the language that, frankly, I wasn't comfortable with you removing. References to climate work, I think, absolutely should be a part of the direction of the agency. Clearly, there are members of this committee that feel the opposite. And you did that, yet we see alternatives. I hope that you're able to come closer together, and because I do think that there is an opportunity to have something bipartisan. I will say that in the alternative proposal, and particularly in the information and analysis section on page 6, there is a reference to efficiency, analysis of efficiency, and analysis of cost. There's glaringly absent any reference to analysis of carbon impacts. And you cannot separate carbon discussions and energy discussions in the next couple of decades. I mean, to do that would be, in my view, absurd. So I think that that's a glaring deficiency in the alternative proposal. I will also say that the explicit treatment of the ESA as a tax is going to bring politics to a new level in the operations of this department. I have chaired the subcommittee on natural resources. I sat on it for three sessions. I chaired it for two sessions, and I can tell you that once it's a tax and it requires a three-fifths vote, you will not be able to get it out of the subcommittee, and you will not be able to get it out of Ways and Means until the conglomeration of ESA ratepayers, who are very powerful in this capital, come together, they sign off on the work that the agency is to do, and if they don't like carbon analysis, then carbon analysis will not be happening in the agency. And then they'll sign off on what the level of the tax ought to be, and they'll go to legislators and say, yep, we've reached a big agreement. We think that you guys should pass this budget as is, and then it'll fly. We see that in the Department of Forestry. You know, that's the harvest tax requires a three-fifths majority, and until the industry signs off on it, you cannot get it out of the subcommittee. I've gone through two sessions where we were not able to get something out of the subcommittee because whether it's big industry or small woodlot owners are not signed off on the harvest tax, and it requires a three-fifths majority. So that's the level of politics that you are going to insert into agency operations as soon as you make the ESA a tax. So I know some people want to do that, but I'm just saying that that is what's going to happen, and advocates that want it to be a tax absolutely know that that's what's going to happen, and that's why they want it to be considered a tax. So I wanted to say that for the record because I feel very strongly about it. I think that carbon ought to be a carbon analysis of the energy supply ought to be a centerpiece of what the agency does. I'm willing, because there's so much more that we agree on, if I were to be here next session, I would say, okay, I'm willing to put that aside to try to reach something that, you know, is bipartisan, and it's a good piece of work. I think you're really, really close. And if you're not able to get there, then in a bipartisan way, then I think that the co-chairs next session should move forward with what they really want to see if the bipartisanship breaks down. But this is like a microcosm of the session. Next, you know, transportation, revenue.
Aren't you going to miss all that? The,
you know, I mean, it's like, you know, who's going to be able to rise above and, you know, reach across the aisle? And is there going to be another hand that's extended? If you extend your hand, is there going to be somebody there to grab it and reach a statesman's agreement or not? So I will be watching from afar and grinning.
I have your cell phone. Any other comments? Representative Whitsitt.
Thank you.
Or Senator Whitsitt, excuse me. I'm sorry.
A couple things. I think one of the things that the alternative may address better than the co-chairs is looking back at what went wrong, why it went wrong, and who might be accountable. And we're not just talking nickels and dimes here. I mean, there's a, you know, like $1.2 billion between Betsy and Zelp, and there's another $500 million hanging out there on their tails. It still has to be determined. So I don't think we can just say, well, that's in the past, we need to move forward. We need to look at what happened. And certainly from a business perspective, if you got a problem, you need to go back and find out what that problem is before you can fix it. So I really feel strongly about that. And that's the alternative report or recommendation does call for more audits, outside audits, and also recommendations for for some things for the Department of Justice that look at and what did go wrong. And I'm not an attorney. You're not an attorney. I mean, but we need to find out what happened there, because that's a lot of money, a lot of money. And then from the standpoint, I think there are a lot of similarities between the two. There's several issues that stand out. Well, I mean, one is the ESA as a tax. Frankly, I think that there shouldn't be taxation without representation. So those being taxed should really be represented on the amount of the tax and how it's levied. I think there's a difference in whether the RETC should be renewed or not. I find myself, I think, in agreement with the governor, maybe it's the first time in a long time. We talked about the audits, you know, the capital gains should be audited, Betsy should be audited, SELP should be audited. We have a difference on the makeup of the directors of an energy board. More specific responses to FSEC and other things, but I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is doable. We've been discussing it, and you know, putting in input for since I guess August or September. And I felt that the co-chair's original work might not have reflected some of our discussions. And I think your second one really did, coming a lot closer. If we had time for a third one, maybe I might get there.
Well, that's encouraging. So any other? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity. I agree a lot with what Chris says. Senator Edwards, I should say, I'm sorry, Chris. He's leaving, so I can call him. My concern was that Department of Energy would be bogged down in greenhouse gas rather than looking at a unique fuel and saying this is what it can do for us. In an analysis section, an information section, they can ascertain what a cubic liter of particular fuel does in carbon, and they can put that out as a technical analysis. Will they analyze how much fuel is used? That's probably going to be up to DEQ, because they deal in the consumption of fuel. So DEQ is the right place for me to handle what goes out. It would be their responsibility to say, if we had this fuel or X fuel, it releases this much carbon. Is this good for us or is this bad for us? And I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I just didn't want their main function to be, I'm going to eliminate a fuel because it has carbon. Hmm. because we will never eliminate carbon as long as we're alive from our sectors. And we can never generate enough electricity to produce the energy we need to keep our state functional. We won't have a million electric cars in our state. We just won't get there. And if we did, we wouldn't have the transmission. We wouldn't have the capability to charge them. But I didn't want, and I think one of the reasons I leaned away from talking about greenhouse gases is that I didn't want that to be their main function. It should be a function in their action. We've got nuclear power. What's the greenhouse gas input on nuclear power? What's the greenhouse gas on electricity if we build a new transmission line? How much greenhouse gas is put out there to build that transmission line, and how long will it take to mitigate what was disseminated? That's the kind of stuff that I would look at for them to be relevant about, but not focusing on, we can't use that fuel because it has carbon in it. So that's where I come from.
Thank you.
That's pretty close to where I am.
I don't think you have a tremendous amount of disagreement about that, actually. But I do emphatically agree with Senator Edwards that it is a piece of the overall issue, and that's why we decided in our co-chair recommendation to have, you know, an interagency type of group that's going to work together, because they have to meet our statutory policies that we already have on the books in terms of the RPS, the Renewable Portfolio Standard, and the greenhouse gas emission goals as well. And so you would have, analysis from Department of Environmental Quality, and but the point is the Department of Energy needs that input from the Department of Transportation, from the Department of Environmental Quality, from an economist, from Biz Oregon, so we're balancing all of those issues together. It was really the intent of having this board as well that we originally proposed. And I just, think that as far as the ESA question, a really tough one for, I think, this legislature to decide. I'm a bit frustrated that we already have an Energy Suppliers Advisory Council, and, they should be the ones that are looking at if they have problems and discussing those with the agency and, communicating, what their issues and solutions to those problems are, and that's one thing that I would be recommending out of this as well, is that energy supplier assessment that's already in statute should be doing its job, and I can't find evidence that they have, and so I don't know what the impediments to that are. But on the flip side, the Department of Energy needs to have the information and data at their hand to be able to tell us how much conservation goes on around the state, how much efficiency is in this state, how much energy production do we have statewide. And I think it's almost impossible for them to do that job, because we haven't given the statutory authority to them to get that information or for somebody to give it to them. So I think there's a lot of little pieces that, that come across that, the Department of Energy has failed, when, in fact, I see legislative failure in not giving them the clear direction nor the resources to accomplish the goals that we expect out of them. So, I agree that the FSEC process needs a closer look. Another issue that's extremely complex, I don't think this committee has the wherewithal to solve that problem. I think that I'd be recommending and introducing legislation to establish a task force just on that issue alone to try to get there. And I think Co-Chair Beyer would agree to that, and probably most other members on this committee. So I'm really encouraged by the amount of agreement we got out of this. Seriously, we have a lot of we just didn't have the time to reconcile these differences. Some of them may not be reconciled, but I think that we can move closer to a proposal in the 2017 legislative session, and I'll be commending legislative drafts as as a co-chair myself and be seeking input from other members of this committee if they agree with those drafts or not, and certainly other members can submit their drafts on their proposals as well, and that this be taken up by the larger body of the 2017 session. So that's where I think I will end this. From my perspective, I do appreciate all the work that staff and especially the department, they spent a year, you know, trying to answer all of our questions, and I think they did an honest, straightforward response to our inquiries and admitted where they have gaps. And I think it's upon us to figure out how to close those gaps as we go into 2017. And I will definitely be trying to engage that conversation to move this agency forward. I think we all agree we need a Department of Energy. I didn't see any real proposals to end any of their programs except for some of the incentive programs, which I think, you know, which has been the basis of a lot of the criticism has been their incentive programs. And I think that we will be dealing with. And so I feel good about a lot of this. I just don't think we have time to do this in this committee. And this committee, unless something magic happens, won't be going forward into the 2017 session. So that, I think, sums up where we're at. And again, thank to all the stakeholders as well. You may think that we didn't read your recommendations, your input, but I assure you that we looked at all of them and think that there's some great recommendations inside of those and some key points that we will probably utilize as we move forward with this overall structure and governance issue. So any other final comments? Not seeing any. So thanks again. With that, I'm going to adjourn the Joint Interim Committee on the Department of Energy Oversight. Committee on the Department of Energy Oversight.